may be seated. Good evening. Good to see all of you back. Good to be here in God's house. We are privileged once again to have Paul and Brooke Mass. They are a representative of Pensacola College. They visited with us this morning. They're back again tonight. Glad to have them with us. We had a good turnout at the nursing home. Far as our people go, there was a few of the normal ones that come, the residents. We were kind of low on the residents today, but one in particular, if we could pray for Miss Lena. Miss Lena wasn't doing well tonight, today. It looked like she may have possibly had a stroke this week. She is the one last month we sung happy birthday to. She turned 100, and was it 102 or 100? 100 even? Couldn't remember, but she wasn't doing well today. All of her family came in from all over the USA to visit with her on her 100th birthday, and maybe she just had too much excitement, but she was not feeling well at all today. And you could tell that something had happened. She wasn't quite sure what had happened. So remember Miss Lena. That will be a blessing as well. So we'll be in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter number 6. We'll be continuing our studies through the book of Mark. We're in verse 45, Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. And we'll read down the rest of the chapter tonight, and maybe we'll get through the whole the rest of this chapter. And next week we'll pick up on Mark chapter 7. Don't forget, next week we have special family is going to be with us, the Wilers. They play all sorts of kind of instruments, so our instrumental group will enjoy them as well. Brother Wiler will be preaching for us, so I'm looking forward to that. If you like brass instruments and things of that nature, you will enjoy them next week in the Sunday morning service. Then he'll be preaching for us right after that. That's on the 5th. And the 4th, the big game dinner up at Starlight Baptist Church. If you're going to go to that, remember that's on the 4th, Saturday. I think about 4 or 5 men usually go up there. But the information's over here on this board. If you'll go and remember that, then remember the Financial Peace University. Been telling people about that. Again, they do not have to be members of the church. They can be co-workers, friends, and family. Just tell them to get in contact with us. Get their email address if you can, so Brother Hector can send them information through the email system. Let them know that next Saturday, Sunday at 5 o'clock is the free preview. It doesn't cost a thing, just come, just to see if there's something they'd be interested in. That's this Sunday, coming up the 5th as well. And the workers' meeting also next Sunday. It's kind of important. I normally have it before this time of the year. It's something we do every year annually, just a reminder of what our responsibilities are and what we do, and it'll be right before church. So please, and we don't have long. We have prayer at 6:10 we finish, and then we go straight into the meeting. So please, if you can, be on time for that meeting. That'd be a blessing. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 45, the Bible says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them in the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. Verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in the beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into the villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him, that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole." As many as touched him were made whole. Now, last Wednesday night, we looked at the feeding of the 5,000. It's kind of a unique miracle that took place. There was 5,000 men, women and children also. There was some fish and some loaves given by a little lad. He broke them up, put them, Jesus blessed them, passed them out. And then there it says in verse 43 says, "They took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes." Remember, there's 12 apostles, 12 passing out, 12 basketfuls. Then they get into the ship. Kind of amazing little thought there, the 12. I don't really grasp the connection other than the fact in verse 52, Jesus said for himself, he said, "For they consider not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts was hardened." This is amazing. Now, I don't know, this doesn't say here for sure, it's not in the scripture, but perhaps some of the fragments was even in the boat with them. Perhaps some one or two or maybe all 12 of the baskets. I don't know, Jesus wasn't a waster of things. He doesn't waste time, he doesn't waste ability, doesn't waste energy. So I don't know if he, gave them out or whatever he did, but what we do know is there was 12 basketfuls of fishes, fragments and of fishes, 12 apostles. Jesus said, "Get into the boat, go to the other side," and he constrained them. Now, the reason he did this over in John chapter 6, I'm not going to turn over there, you can on your own. John chapter 6 is the same correlating passages. John chapter 6, as things was going on, they wanted to take Jesus and make him king. Let's just look at one or two verses over in John 6 so that you understand what I'm saying. John chapter 6, verse 14, if you'd flip over there. Hold your place back there in Mark because we're coming right back. John chapter number 6, And let's say probably around verse 14 or so, maybe 13. John chapter 6 and verse number, let's see, verse 13. We'll start there. Verse 13, the Bible says, therefore they gathered them together, filled them 12 baskets and fragments of 5 barley loaves and remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come unto the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. They was fixing to just force him to be a king. So Jesus, to kind of settle everything down here back over in Mark, he told them straightway, he constrained them, his disciples, to get into the ship and to go into the other side before. And you know, and then things began to kind of disperse. Things began to settle down there. In John chapter 6, also in verse number 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves. Isn't it amazing the carnality of what's going on? Now, he's talking about the multitudes. Multitudes around there. And he says, listen, you followed me over here to the other side just because I fed you on this side. But here in verse 52, he's actually talking about his disciples. He says there in verse 52 in the book of Mark chapter 6, for they considered not the miracles of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. This was straightway. This was immediately. This wasn't like weeks or years or months. You understand this something? The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with the fishes and the loaves had just taken place that evening. And now they're going to rise up. They're going to rise up and they're going to make Jesus king. Jesus says to them, get into the boat, get on the other side. Jesus himself went off into a place on the mountain to pray. It says there in verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. J.C. Ryle said this, none ever did such mighty works as he did. None ever spake such words. None ever was so instant in prayer. Listen, dear friend, let me tell you something. A praying church is a powerful church. Jesus gave us example after example after example about prayer. Go with me to Colossians. Hold your place in Mark. Put something there to mark it and flip over to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 12. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you. Listen what it says about him. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. What does Acts 1:1 say? Jesus began to both do and teach. Jesus was a man of prayer. He taught his disciples to pray. You remember the disciples, those closer to him, those three, he said, will you come just a little bit away? Come over here a little bit further distance. I'm going to go here and pray. You sit and pray. I'm going to go a little bit further here. Jesus went and prayed. When he returned, they were asleep. They were asleep. You know why we have a little power with God? We spend a little time in prayer with God. We don't spend time with him. Flip over to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. And verse number five, James chapter 1 and verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 2. James chapter 4 verse number 2. The Bible says, ye lust, and ye have not, ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain, Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. And this is what Jesus said. There was going to make him king. There was going to make him something that it was not. He was King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. They don't make him. He is. You remember when Satan came over in Matthew chapter 4 and he wanted to tempt Jesus. He said, I'll lift you up. I'll give you all of these kingdoms. He already had them. It just wasn't time for him to show. You know, there's coming a time where all the things that are on this earth, all the little county states and Protestants, provinces and all these, they will someday be divided. And the Bible teaches that we will rule with him over those things. They're his. This earth is his. The Bible says the earth and the fullness thereof is God's. So he doesn't need to be made king. And the Bible says he made himself go away. And what did he do? He went off to a place to spend in prayer. Spend in prayer. He's off in a solitary place. And it was amazing to me about this story. And it was not only to me, but if you read what it says about them, go back to Mark. Mark chapter number 6. Back over in our text. Is not only amazing to me, but it was also amazing to the to them as well. Mark chapter 6. Verse 51. And he went up unto the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. There was another time there was a storm came about, wasn't it? You remember the storm that came about and he was in the bottom of the ship? We studied about it over a couple of chapters prior to this. I think it was chapter 4 maybe of Mark. There was a storm around Mark chapter 4, last part, so 35, 36, 37, 38, somewhere around in there. Jesus is asleep down in the bottom of the boat and the disciples are out there and he's with them. And he understands their need, he understands their heart, he understands their fear. He wakes up, he calms the storm. This time he's off in solitary, he's on the mountaintop praying, and his disciples are out there. And guess what he says? Look there in verse 48. And he saw them toiling in rowing. So he's away from them, he sees them. He's with them in the ship, he sees them. And both times he calms the sea for them. You see something different? You are never absent from the presence of God. He's with you. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I'm always there for you. I'm there with you. I'll always be there with you. And when we think he's not, when we think he's nowhere around, his eye is upon us and he sees what's going on in our lives. And the Lord came out and in the midst of the storm, he begins to walk on the sea. This is amazing. These superstitious fishermen here, they said, look, what is it? Oh, it's a spirit. Verse 49. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he walked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. It is I, be not afraid. You remember in the Old Testament back there when Moses said, well, what am I to say? Who am I to say to all them that said? He said, this is what God said, I am that I am. He made himself known. And immediately, the Bible says there in verse number 50, for they all saw him, and they were troubled, and immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. So the storm is going on. Jesus comes walking out upon the sea, and there the sovereign God of the universe, he walks out. Oh, here's a ghost, here's a spirit, here's something. And they were naturally afraid, They were naturally troubled. They were naturally afraid. And as they were troubled there, they were seeing and going on with what was going on and things of that nature, the storm, and Jesus said, "It is I. It is I. I am here. I am the one that, that's going to calm the storm. I'm the supernatural." And he identifies himself as God did, "I am that I am." And the surprised satyr said, "Wow, everything just calm. Everything was just simply eased, and everything was put at calm." Listen, today, listen, God's people are in a storm today. God's people are in a storm today, and the world is at trouble. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus ascended into the air. And in Acts chapter 1, they said to the men standing around there, they said, "Why are you standing around here gazing? The same Jesus that you see going up shall come again in like manner as you saw him go up. And he's seated evermore at the right hand of the Father to do what? To make intercession for you and I." Intercession how? In the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our problems. He said, "I must go. And if I go, a comforter will come." Where did that happen? Holy Spirit came. He's here. Not only is he here, if you're saved, you're born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he lives within you. So that storms that's in your life, they're going to come. Those storms that's in your relationship, they're there. Those storms that's at work, those storms that's in our government, those storms that's in our country, those storms that's are in the world today, they're going to come. They're part of the makeup of the universe. They're a result of the sin nature in which we live. There's problems, divisions, there's schisms, there's all kind of trouble. There's this one trying to get on top of this one trying to gain power on that one. And with all those power, with all those things, listen, you're going to have problems. But just like Jesus was in the boat in Mark chapter 4, just like Jesus was on the mountaintop in Mark chapter 6, in both instances, Jesus was the one that calmed the storm. And he'll do it for you. He'll do it for you in your troubled time. You don't have to be like the disciples. You know why the Bible is written? The Bible is written for our example, for our learning, for our understanding. We do not have to continue failing as other Christians before us failed. They did not understand what was going on because of the hardness of their heart. I don't know about you, dear friend, but there's been times in my own life where things have happened. Great, miraculous things that I could not answer outside of the hand of God. I'll give you an example. We are have been, and for a long time, been involved with Faith Promise Missions Given. My family and I, we give weekly to our missions program by faith. My God, we think, well, God, it's more than a tithe. It's beyond our tithe. God, we understand that you say that we need to be involved with missions. You said in Acts 1:8 that we'd be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. That's my responsibility. It's my personal responsibility to be involved in those areas of witnessing. So my family, the only way to do it is through missions giving. There's no other way to do it. I can't be in Greece, I can't be in Germany, and be here at the same time. But I am commanded by God in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to be involved with missions and evangelism and the gospel around the world. So we talked with God, we spent time with God, and we have continuously done this for years now. I kind of don't even know how long, how many years? 17, now 8, 9, I'd say close to 28 years. But there was a time that we had talked with God and spent time in prayer, and we had given a certain amount weekly, and Lord, I just don't have it. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've made this covenant with you, and I just don't have it.
I talked to my wife and we spent time in prayer. And I don't know what we're going to do, but God's going to come through because God is in charge of this and He has given us clarity on this. It's a biblical principle, and God has given us clarity of understanding of this here offering of grace. And so, God, we're going to just do it and trust You. I was frustrated. Brother Ray, I was mad at myself for the little bit of faith. I'd seen God do wonderful things, tremendous things, great things. And I was just troubled by all the things that was taking place in my life at that time. We had a lady that was sick in our church. She was very, very sick, was ill. I mean, she reminded me so much of Miss Rooney when Miss Rooney was coming. Just the things that were happening, how Miss Rooney would get well, get sick, get well. She gets sick, get sick, get well. She gets sick, get well. And then finally the Lord took her home. But my wife made her a bowl of something or other, or a cake or something, and she brought it over to the house, prayed with her, spent some time with her, and she had come to church. My wife was sick at home one day, and she brought the little Tupperware thing back, and she said, tell your wife, thank you very much for the cake. It was such a blessing. It just encouraged me a lot, and I threw it in the back of my truck. I didn't even think about it. Didn't even think about it. I wrote my tithe check out that week, and I put down in my missions check, and I said, Lord, this is going to be the most embarrassing thing in my life. I'm going to write this check. We have enough to cover our tithe, but we don't have enough to cover this offering of grace, which You have encouraged us to give. And the church treasurer is going to have to call me on the phone and tell me my check is no good. So you know what I did? I took one of my guns, Brother Jim, to the pawn shop. I pawned it, ran over there with the money, and stuck it in the bank, because I'm better and bigger than God. I can do this. Come home from work that evening, mad because my gun's over in the pawn shop. Mad at this whole system that I have believed that was a principle found in the Word of God. I put that Tupperware thing, I got it out of the back of my truck, and I took it out, threw it on the counter. I said, by the way, Sister so-and-so, she sent your Tupperware back, hon. And she opened up that Tupperware bowl. And in that Tupperware bowl was a check that had been sitting in my truck for 4 days that said, Tupperware rental, $25. You know how much my missions was that week? $25. That's how God works. But my heart was hard, and I wanted to pawn my gun, and I was mad about having to pawn it. God had to shame me. Whenever my storm smoothed out, I could see the hand of God. This is what happened. 12 basketfuls of fragments was taken up. Do you understand? Some bread and some fish. God fed 5,000 men, women, and children, and He fed them, and then they took up 12 basketfuls. God says, get on the ship, get over there, and go about your business. As they went about their business, the storm come up, and they didn't even have enough to think about what He had just did, not only on the ship, but also in Mark chapter 4, He had done calm the sea. Their heart's hard. They don't even consider the miracles. I have a greater miracle than this, my dear friend. Greater miracle than what I just... To you, it may seem silly. To you, maybe, Pastor, just coincidence. All of those things come through your mind. I understand that. But I was on my way to a devil's hell. And the God of heaven saved my soul. And moved in and lives within me. And at the time of my life, when my marriage, my life was at an all-time just historical wreckage. I mean, every step I took, it seemed like more destruction. And all of a sudden, by trusting Christ that Wednesday night, there at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Louisiana, the peace of God that come over me and just stealed my life. Well, Pastor, it must have been perfect. Oh, no. I still had to reap what I had sown. I still had to live with the decisions that I had made weeks, months, hours prior. I still had to reap them. But He calmed me in the middle of that reaping. And let me tell you, dear friend, whenever you're going through trouble, if you can't find no other miracle that God's worked in your life, if you are saved, pause for a moment. Think back to the moment when Christ moved in and hell was upset and mad that they had lost, that it had lost one more soul because of the blood of Christ, and it was yours. And say, God, I am sorry for not understanding the storm, that You are the one that calms the storm, or You calm me in the middle of those storms. But dear friend, I have more. Personally, there's things in my life, and I'm not talking some little spooky something other with little angels floating around in my life. I'm talking about real things that only God could have been involved in. And I think about it. I can go back to them. But the greatest miracle of all is grace upon grace that He poured out at salvation. Grace upon grace. All they wanted, all they cared about, dear friend, really, and to be honest, was that they had been fed carnally. Flip back over. We're closing right now. Flip back over to John chapter 6 real quick. Understand this is the same time and everything's happening at the same time. It's just Mark writing it in the way he saw it. John's writing it the way he saw it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 6. This verse is going to prove a point here. Is it 26? Yeah, verse 26. Thank you, Brother James. 6:26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled." That's how most of us live our life. For the carnal miracles of God. The greatest miracle of all is that you've got a new name written down in glory. The greatest miracle of all. Listen, if God never does anything else in an individual's life, and Lord knows He does so much, greatest miracle of all is one day you're going to put your hands in the hands of those nail-scarred hands and say, "Thank you, Lord." Don't allow yourself to see. Maybe we should get to the point, instead of looking how big our problem is tell our problem how big God is. Tell the situation that my God is the God that holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. My God is the one that was hung on the cross of Calvary and shamed before man and died and buried, and on the third day by the power of God rose again. And one day He's coming back for me, and right now He's making intercession for me. All they wanted, miracles. Make you king. Give us more bread. But then there was those few. Look at the last verse of there as we close out this chapter. Verse 55, verse 56. And the Bible says, and ran through the whole region round about. Back up to verse 54. This is an amazing part here. Verse 54, if you notice what it says. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway, what it says? They knew Him. They knew Him. I wonder, just for a moment, dear friend, how well do you really know Him? The only way you're going to really know the Lord is living through this book and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your lives through this book. And the Bible says in verse 55, and ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in the beds those who were sick and where they heard he was, verse 56, and whithersoever he entered, into the villages, cities, country, they lay the sick in the street and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Though their hearts was hardened, though all they cared about was the feeding, one little bread, another miracle, make some more fragments come about, Jesus still had compassion upon them. Dealing with people, church, listen to me. Dealing with people, there are users and takers that will use you up and take you up. But the scripture says this, we must be willing to spend and be spent. People will use you. You love them to Jesus. Don't be a walking bag. Don't be somebody that is just drug all over the place, being taken advantage of. But if it gets them to the cross of Calvary, allow God to use you to get them to the point that they are willing, that just if they can just touch just the hem of what you've got, they're willing by faith to touch just the hem. You and I, dear friend, got a brand new robe. We're not touching the hem. Him, the H-I-M, is living within you. That's a big difference than the hem of a garment. He is alive forevermore. Alive forevermore. Father, we love you. We thank you for this night. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. For the scriptures, Lord, that we have studied through the book of Mark up to this point. Lord, as we continue studying through the book of Mark, in Mark chapter 7 and on, God, would you please allow us an open heart and open mind to see what the scripture says. Give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech, Lord, that I may convey the truths that are here in the Word of God. God, help us this week to be more Christ-like. Lord, when the storms of life come our way, help us to understand, though you may not be in our boat, you may be up on the side of a hill. Your eye is ever upon us, and you're always with us and always there to care for us. As the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. God, help us to be a vessel of evangelism around in our community and around this world because of what Christ has done in us and for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.